The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Amazing Business Radio with best-selling author and customer service and business expert, Shep Hyken. Shep will talk with some of the smartest thinkers in business to help make you more successful in your professional and personal life. This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Hello, everybody. This is Shep Hyken with another episode of Amazing Business Radio, and I'm excited today because, once again, we're going to the leader in an organization that is in the trenches of customer service. As a matter of fact, his company is called Customer, spelt with a K, just to be different. This is Brad Birnbaum on the show today. He's the CEO and co-founder of Customer. Welcome to Amazing Business Radio.
Thanks, Shep. Happy to be a part of the program.
Well, we're going to have fun, and I know that you are the co-founder of Assistly, which is another great organization that's focused on customer service. That was acquired by Salesforce, and eventually Assistly became Desk.com. Some of our listeners may be familiar with that. But you've got a company that is creating a product that is all about customer service, a customer-centric platform for support centers to use. And before we get into some of the questions that I have about customer service and experience in general, give us a little insight as to what Customer is.
Sure. Thanks so much for having me on the program. So Customer is a modern-day platform that was built to know and understand everything about a company's customers. So the best way to think about it is a modern-day Salesforce, frankly, right? So we have CRM objects, we have events, we have views into data. These are all at the heart and crux of the platform. And then on top of our platform are apps. And our first app that we've gone to market with is our support app. So it is a modern way for companies to support their customers. So in addition to the standard ticketing capabilities that a lot of the products of today have, we actually aggregate that with all of your respective customer data. So if you're a B2C e-commerce company and you're all about orders and order management, inside of our platform, not only will we have all of your support data, but we'll have all of your order data. We'll have views into the order data. Everything's there. And we'll be able to automate around it. As an example, something like processing a return would be automated through our business process automation engine, which might actually talk to three different systems in the back end and process an exchange and refund some money and do anything and everything that you need to do, but with one click. Right. And take care of all that.
So from the company side, you're making it easy on us because you're integrating all of these areas. It's a cliche as to say there are all these silos, but no, it's all these different applications and all these different processes. You're putting it into one. From the customer side, you're making it real easy. You know, just a moment ago, you mentioned, you know, the traditional ticketed support. I hate ticketed support. Just yesterday, I had an issue with some software, and the only way for me to connect with the company is to write a ticket up. And what that means is I put the complaint in, and I call it a complaint because it's no longer a problem. I can't get it resolved immediately, so the problem is now a complaint. I need it now. I don't know how long it's going to be for them to answer my ticket, if you will, or what place I'm in as far as how far down the road I am. And that is a very, very frustrating process. I mean, sounds to me like you're trying to eliminate old school ticketed support type things. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. And to take that a little bit further, so the traditional systems of the day, the atomic unit that support agents would work on would be the ticket itself, right? Which is a piece of the customer, one component part of the customer. But let's say I had multiple open issues with a company, or let's say I even had the same issue opened across different channel types, right? In many traditional systems, those would be different tickets or cases.
So I might reach out to you. I want to make sure I understand this. I might reach out to you via email, or first I do a ticket on my computer, and then I mean, maybe later on another channel would be 3 days ago I talked to somebody on the phone and they started a different ticket, or even though they're the same problems. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay, got it.
So in the customer platform, we've thought of things in a couple of different ways. One, it was a pretty seismic, paradoxical shift that we made, and one that, you know, when we created the company 3 years ago, was arguably a risk. But now that we've got so many customers enjoying it on the platform, we now know it was the right decision. But the atomic unit that you work on as an agent is actually the customer itself. You don't open a ticket or a case. You actually open a customer, and you would see all of their open issues and be able to work on them very much in a Google Docs type style, where you actually could collaborate and address all of the known issues. Furthermore, for the multi-channel problem that we were talking about earlier, where customers very often will hit you through different or reach out to you through different channel types, we are the only vendor, in our opinion, that does proper omni-channel. And our definition of omni-channel is actually really straightforward. It is a single-threaded discussion to address a problem or set of problems across all of the channels that you communicate with your company on, right? So it could be email, could be chat, could be phone, could be SMS, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. And in our world, all of those channels will come into a single conversation, and you could, you know, could start as an email, could morph to a text, could eventually go to a tweet, what have you, all within the same context of a conversation. And that to us is true omni-channel.
I love it. I work, and I know you mentioned Salesforce. I also work with a company called Pegasystems. I've been very fortunate to work with some great organizations. One of their executives over at Pega said, we don't call omni-channel anymore. We like to call it no channel, because to the customer, it's just another way to communicate. They don't think in terms of channels. But we, as the supplier of the service, that's how we think. Oh, they're coming in on a different channel. No, it's the same customer. It sounds like, you know, when you use the word single thread conversation, it's like we don't even care what channel they're on. It's part of a conversation, one conversation. So love that that's happening. Let's jump into some questions. Where do you see the opportunities for customer support happening in the next 3 to 5 years?
Sure. So I think we all have had those negative experiences where we reach out to a company about problem X, and you know the company knows a lot about you, but yet the person who's solving your problem doesn't seem to know anything about you, right? That's a pretty common problem today.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, who doesn't, right? So for us, that was one of the core things that we felt was very important to solve here at Customer, or really, really, frankly, for any products out there. Any support person should have all of the appropriate information at their fingertips about the customer they're servicing, right? If you're an e-commerce company, it should be everything you've done on the website, any problems you've had on the website, potentially stuff you've added, items you've added to the shopping cart, potentially maybe you've even abandoned the shopping cart, orders you've made, returns you've made, billing problems, you name it. It should all be in front of you so that when the customer engages with the company, you are able to support and service them faster. And my product has proven to produce with some of our customers average handle time by as much as 20% as a result of having the information in front of them and be able to automate any actions against it.
So 20% faster resolution for the customer, and 20% more productivity, allowing people basically for every 5 customers you get an extra customer in there and handling their issues because you've saved productivity wise. In time, and it's probably less stressful for the customer, easier. I love it. One of the things, one of my clients is ServiceNow, and actually, it was actually Talkdesk that had this concept, knowledgeable agents. And when I first read the term that they said, it's important that agents, now that we have knowledgeable agents, I first thought that they meant, oh, they have to know about the products and the services that we offer, and we are going to make it real easy for the agent to get information about these products so they can communicate it better to the customer. But they said, no. That's obviously a given. What we mean is knowledge of the customer. A knowledgeable agent knows the customer. And I think that's what you're talking about here, is making it so when we do, as a customer, connect with an agent, that agent knows all about us. They can look at the history. They can immediately know when we've called before, the problems we've had before. And it's like we were just talking to this person yesterday, even if it was a different person.
That's exactly right. That's exactly how we see the world. And by the way, Talkdesk is a great partner of ours. We have a great integration with them as a telephony provider. And, we work very well with telephony partners such as Talkdesk, and there are others. And yes, that's exactly how we see the world. So when somebody calls in through a Talkdesk call, it immediately screen pops inside the customer platform, and you've got everything at your fingertips to properly service them. And, you know, we were talking about percentages before, you know, maybe 20% average handle time reduction, et cetera. You know, there's one that I always like to throw out, which is 100% less frustrated customer, because Nobody likes to give you the same information again, right? That's just nothing, you know, something that you expect a company. After you've said, hey, I'm Brad Birnbaum, and here's my email address, or whatever unique identifier that the company uses to identify you, you don't want to have to give them anything else. They should know. We all know how computers and systems work today, and we all simply expect it. So that's also equally important, right? As in the age of improving customer service, it's also about reducing frustration and friction, and that's one of the things we pride ourselves on here.
So when we come back in our next segment, I want to talk specifically about reducing frustration, reducing friction, becoming convenient. Everybody, you've been listening to Amazing Business Radio. We're talking with Brad Birnbaum, the CEO and co-founder of Customer, spelled with a K. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Chef Hagen here. How would you like customer service training anytime you want it or need it, day or night? Well, with Shepherd Virtual Training, you will have world-class customer service training at your fingertips, online, 24/7, 365 days a year. Just go to www.shepondemand.com. Once again, that's shepondemand.com. And remember, always be amazing.
This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
We're back on Amazing Business Radio talking with Brad Birnbaum, the CEO and co-founder of Customer. And I love the way he spells it, Customer with a K. And by the way, a lot of people spell that naturally because they don't know how to spell Customer with a C. I know that because just today I was talking to my Google Analytics rep who said we've got to go in and we've got to clean up all these bad keywords that people are searching on that you're paying for. I couldn't believe how many people misspell the word customer with a K.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's great. Yeah, no, we chose the name Customer because we wanted the world to know that we are building a brand and a platform about everything about the customer. And in today's modern day and age, we wanted to be slightly unique, slightly edgy. And we were able to get customer.com. The domain was important to us, and it just seemed like a perfect name for us.
I'm so jealous. Really I wish I would have thought of customer with a K.com. I don't know. Maybe I'll come up with Mustomer because we must take care of the customer. But anyway, you mentioned the word friction. And if there's one thing that I think frustrates customers more than anything, it's friction. As a matter of fact, my next book, due out on October 2nd, is called The Convenience Revolution. And I have a whole section in there about, you know, everything about convenience is reducing friction, but there's a whole section of companies that have just embraced the concept of trying to get rid of friction. But, I mean, I could tell you, I'm not going to tell you the name of the company. I may have shared this story a long time ago on Amazing Business Radio, but I called a computer company to buy something. I have bought many computers from them, many accessories, and the phone, and I've got a number to call. I call it up. The person on the phone, the first thing they say is hello, and then what's your account number? I don't know. I didn't realize I had an account number, but can you look it up using my phone number? They said yes. So I gave her my phone number, and she told me my account number. She told me to keep it handy. I said, I will for the next time, right? So then she asked what I'm calling about, and I tell her, and then I get connected to somebody. What do you think the first question they ask me is?
I'm sure they asked you for your account number again.
Why? Why? I don't get it. Shouldn't they already know that when I call? I've semi-verified already that I have an account. Now maybe they need to ask some security questions. That's fine. But shouldn't they already know who I am?
And 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
That's so frustrating to me. And that's friction. And I often tell my clients that many times your customers are not calling you with a complaint. They're calling you because they need help with a problem. And they're really looking forward to talking to somebody that can help them. But when you create friction, the problem becomes a complaint. And that's bad. So
I couldn't agree with you more.
So talk to me about what you're doing with your application to help reduce some of the friction. I realize we talked about that single thread, but where do you see opportunities to reduce friction for the customer experience?
Well, so for starters, as I mentioned earlier, it's already having the relevant data through all of the various app integrations that we would do at the agent's fingertips. So hopefully they're not going to be asking you for the same piece of data that they would assume you already know, right? In the case of account number, okay, well, you know, if that was a one-time lookup of the customer, you know, you could look up their account number, and we've got lots of many other different ways to search and find the customer, including on the simple things like your name or email address or phone number for that matter. But once you've got the customer identified and you've got their customer timeline up in front of you, we can have immense amounts of data, right? Everything you'd want to know, right? If you're an airline, we would know, you know, the plane tickets you purchased, and we would know the status of your flights, and we would know the bags you checked, and we would be able to action those, right? So rather than the customer having to even tell you the problem, there's a decent chance you could tell them why they're calling, right? You would say, oh, I could see that your flight is delayed or was canceled. I assume you're calling to get it rescheduled, right, if you're an airline. If you're an e-retailer, and you could see a delivery exception on the package that went out or got lost from the carrier, or, you know, it was delayed due to an inventory problem, you would already know that information, right? So you can wow them instead of, you know, turn that sort of frown upside down, if you will, right? But you could, when the customer's calling with a complaint, you could wow them. Like, I know Mr. and Mrs. Customer, you're calling about X, and, you know, here's what we're going to do to rectify the problem, right? And that will really go a long way, I think, in helping reduce friction. And then furthermore, reducing the time of the phone call itself or the email exchange or the SMS text, very, very helpful. So the faster that agents are able to delight and provide that level of service and provide an ultimate solution, the happier they are, the less friction exists in the relationship between the company and the customer.
Wow. One of my clients is NICE, N-I-C-E, mm-hmm. and I don't know if that's a competitor or you're getting ready to partner with them as you have with some of the other platforms that are out there. They have a voice recognition software that is really cool. I saw this tested about 3 years ago on stage at their annual conference. Basically, within 9 to 10 words of talking to the customer, first they ask you, is it okay if we voice print you for the future so that when you call in, all you have to do is, you know, talk to us for a few moments and we can verify it's you. Interestingly, it's got a perfect record for never making a mistake, but it does sometimes say it doesn't recognize the voice, so you have to go back to the traditional method, which, by the way, is just fine with me. If 95 out of 100 times it does it right, as long as it never does it wrong, I'm okay. If 5% of the time it makes us then ask, you know, some of the basic questions. But think about, you know, you call up and just with your voice you verify, oh, I'm talking to Mr. Birnbaum. Well, how are you today? How'd you know it was me?
Because yeah, no, that's amazing. And definitely familiar with NICE, and that would be an outstanding integration partner for us, right? So, again, that data could flow into my platform, would automatically be used, let's say, on a respective screen pop, automatically identify, and could even say, you know, verified as Brad through a voice fingerprint, right, through a voice identity. And, yeah, that makes perfect sense to us, right? In many ways, we are very happy to be channel agnostic, and we can plug in other channels. We have a whole bunch out of the box, but particularly on the voice and telephony side, there's a lot of players out there, and frankly, it's not something we're trying to unseat. We would rather work with all of them out there. So we have a first-class citizen telephony channel, and we'll plug in with you know, all the major providers. Well, and drop them in to add benefit.
And while we're talking about voice, a technology like natural language processing, how far do you think it is right now? Can we really have easy, human-like conversations with the computer?
Right. So those, you know, are often called chatbots.
A chatbot is typed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're talking about on the voice side.
Yeah, I'm talking about on the voice side.
Right. So that's even harder than the type, right? So, you know, we've all seen instances where simple communications are able to be achieved through voice recognition and voice response. And it will continue to get more advanced over time, right? We all interface with Siri or Alexa, and we're starting to see that work. And that will continue to get better, you know, over time, right? I still think it's a little nascent, but it will definitely, you know, in the future, certainly have the capabilities to do so. Right. Where we see the world right now is we want to understand, for starters, the sentiment of all communications. So we run all we can't do it for voice, but we could do it for any any text communications, you know, email, text, Twitter, Facebook, et cetera. We run all those through our sentiment analysis engine, and we rate it. So we actually understand the sentiment of the customer, and we're actually track that over time too, right? So when you're getting a list of customers that you should be servicing or worked on, or as they're being popped to you, you will see what we call our sentiment ring around the face of the customer. And you will see, let's say around Brad's face or on my face, I'm mostly green. That would mean I'm like two thirds, three quarters happy, right? If I was all red, you know, maybe 100% all the way red around me, I'd be like, wow, Brad's pretty angry, and you may want to handle that customer differently, or you might want to actually prioritize or escalate that customer differently. Furthermore, we're able to do some really unique things with our sentiment analysis. Again, if let's say you were an e-commerce customer of ours, one of our customers is a company called Slice. They do pizza ordering here, you know, across the country, and they're actually doing incredibly well.
That's a great name. That's almost as good as customer.
Isn't it a great name? Yeah, and they're great people. But all their orders flow into customer and all their communications. And we could actually go into the product and say, find me all recently unhappy customers, because, again, we're doing sentiment analysis across all the communications, who used to order three pizzas a month and haven't ordered one in the last 90 days. And then you could do an outreach to them, right? You can nurture them. You can use that to reengage and you know, figure out why they've stopped ordering with the same level of regularity. And again, their sentiment might be telling you why. And then use that to, again, nurture them and you know, get them, try and get them to engage. So, you know, it could be
powerful.
Sending them a free pizza, $5 coupon, what have you, whatever you think makes the most sense. But that's powerful stuff, right?
Yep.
Furthermore, you know, with today's NLP today, it is pretty effective at reading through text and understanding the concepts inside of a message. And using that for anything from routing to auto-suggesting to even auto-responding is absolutely where things we can do and things that I see customers wanting to do and frankly, the future.
All right. So we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to get back into NLP, the natural language processing. But this time, rather than voice recognition, I want to talk a little bit about chatbots, and because they have come a super long way, and some companies are so effective that you don't even know whether you're talking to a chatbot or talking to a real live person. And I'll tell you a very, very funny story when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Brad Birnbaum, the CEO and co-founder of Customer. This is Amazing Business Radio. Don't go away. Want to amaze your customers, impress the people you work with, and outshine your competition? Going from average to amazing isn't an out-of-reach goal. In fact, amazement is a habit that anyone can master. In my latest book, Be Amazing or Go Home, I share the secrets behind my mantra, which is to always be amazing. Drawing on the routines of incredible people, I share simple practices that can elevate your game. Once you master those habits, you'll be able to create trust, build stronger relationships, make sales, advance your career, and much more. Now is the time to step out of ordinary and step into being amazing. Be Amazing or Go Home is now available on Amazon.com in ebook and hardcover.
This is Amazing Business Radio with Shep Hyken.
Back on Amazing Business Radio, talking with Brad Birnbaum, the CEO and co-founder of Customer. And I want to talk about chatbots. Chatbot, I love the idea. And this is when you go on, you start typing away, and you're going back and forth on the computer with those little windows, and that's a chatbot. Or just a chat. Chat without the bot is chat with a human person. So this chatbot is computerized. It's machine. It's talking to you. It's artificial intelligence. The other day I was at a meeting with Oracle, and somebody – and I cannot verify this. I actually went on Google and tried to type in multiple ways of trying to come up if this was the correct answer. Somebody said if you ask the chatbot on L.L. Bean if it's a chatbot, the answer that you will get will be, yes, this is a chatbot. But like Pinocchio, I hope one day to grow up to be a human. I just thought that was...
That's great.
So, by the way, the very first thing I did is I went to L.L. Bean's website, and I thought, okay, what can I ask them? So up came the you know, help box, and I said, what's your warranty? Because I know they recently changed their warranty, and that just seems like something they would have already typed up, ready to go. And within a matter of seconds... here comes the warranty. And I said, thank you very much. By the way, is this a chatbot? And the response was, no, this is a real person. Why do you ask? And I go, darn. So
that's classic.
Let's talk about chatbots for just a few minutes and how AI is really driving what I think is a pretty powerful experience.
Sure. So, you know, there's a lot of different players focusing on chatbots or their own versions of chatbots. And in my experience, I've seen chatbots work really well, and I've seen chatbots unfortunately fall on their face. Right. So, like anything else, it's only as good as the person who programs it or creates it, and frankly, the type of questions that you're asking. So, a really simple question of what's your warranty? It could run it through a knowledge base and return the article for what's your warranty. That's pretty standard, pretty rudimentary stuff. Chatbots are effective for that. But more difficult questions, or more specifically questions that are unique to you, right? Like, what's the warranty on the most recent product I just purchased, right? Things that would have to understand you a lot more. We find that the chatbots are far less effective in that matter. And, you know, the way that we think about chatbots here at Customers is more of a hybrid approach. So we've recently rolled out in our chat solution what we call conversational forms. And conversational forms in many ways feel like a chatbot, but it's really collecting data for you on the way in, right? So instead of a traditional chat where, you know, you have to type in your name and what's the subject about and what type of problem and you know, give us some more information and description about the problem, we're actually walking you through what we call a conversational form to collect the data, but it does it in a way that actually feels like you're talking to somebody, right?
So give me an example.
Rather than, you know, when you would go to a chat on a website or inside of a mobile app, it might say, you know, you might have in traditional terms, you would have a form. You would type in, you know, Brad Birnbaum, and then you'd have a drop down. What type of problem do you have? Billing or sales or, you know, warranty problem. And then it would say free form and some text about your problem, right? We've all probably done that once or twice in our lives, if not more than that. Mm-hmm. Then you'd hit submit, and then you'd kind of wait for an agent. And eventually somebody would come on and say, you know, I'm here to help you. With a conversational form, our approach is you're immediately in a chat right away, right? So it feels like a lightweight, more modern experience, like an instant messenger or your favorite texting app. And a meal come up and say, hey, I'm agent so-and-so. What's your name? Oh, I'm Brad. Okay, Brad, you know, maybe we want to ask some more information about you, i.e. your account number or your email address, right, to actually start to look you up and understand you better. And then it might do that. And then it would say, all right, Brad, you know, what type of problem are you having? And it does it in a way that feels like a text, but it might actually give you just like three little buttons to click, right? I have a sales question or a billing problem or a warranty problem. And you click on that, and then it might actually ask you some other questions. And the answers can be sort of multiple choice, if you will, or they can be free form text. And it actually will walk you through to get towards a point when you're ready to be serviced by an agent. And at that point, the agent has all the information of you. They know who you are. You've self-identified, right? Because identity is a big problem in the chat world, right? If you're thinking about chat, right? Like, am I really Brad, right? So there's a lot of things that we'll do to help you self-identify and self-validate and verify, walk you through that. And by the time the agent gets to you, you know, half to three quarters of the heavy lifting has been done in an automated fashion in that hybrid bot that we mentioned through the conversational form. And then the agent can go and ultimately solve the problem
right.
Very quickly.
Focus now, on the problem. Yep.
Exactly. And that's how that model's worked incredibly well for us, and our customers, you know, thoroughly enjoyed our conversational forms that we've rolled out in the last quarter or two.
And I like that. And basically you're setting – there's two things. Number one, the customer is getting answers to you. They feel like they're engaging with the company, even with the chat bot. It still feels like there's engagement seamlessly flipped over to the human being. I think that's the best use. I think chat bots typically today, their best use is at a lower level function. You know, I need to change an address or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. something simple. That can be handled by a chat bot. But you're right. At a certain point in time, it flips over. So smart companies are figuring out that, hey, the chatbot's not the end all, because if they do think it is, they're just going to irritate customers when it doesn't work. So I like that. All right. We are almost out of time, and this is where I do the one thing question, and that is this. What's one thing you want to emphasize that we may have already talked about, or something new that you want us to remember that ties to this whole conversation that we've had? Which, by the way, I know we started with the whole concept of, you know, friction, or actually that was kind of in the middle, but we talked about what you did and just making it easy on the customer, but we're ending here with technology. So we've gone a long way. What's the one thing?
one thing I can't stress enough that will produce not only a better experience for your customers, but even a better experience for your agents is knowing everything about the customer and being able to automate the data, right? So knowing trying to predict why your customers are reaching out to you, trying to take care of any issues on a proactive basis, even ahead of them reaching out to you. And that is what having data and being able to action data and view that data all within a single platform could ultimately do for you. So I would encourage anybody as they're on their customer experience transformation and as they're thinking about tooling, certainly I would love to see everybody on the customer platform. But regardless of that, whatever tool you provide, you should really be making sure you're not focusing on point solutions. You're focusing on solutions that truly aim to understand your customer as an entity, right? And not as a silo, but as an entity themselves and everything about them so that they can have a better experience with your company.
I want to go full circle and go back to something you said toward the beginning of your show, and that is you don't believe you're opening up a screen, but what you're doing is you're opening up a customer. And that's the holistic concept of, hey, it's all about the customer, regardless of whatever the channel they come in on, regardless of whether they started out in chat and now they're dealing in person. But that whoever is supporting them knows everything there is to know about that customer because they're not opening up an account number. They're not opening up a screen. They're opening up the customer. Brad, it's awesome. This is why we call it Amazing Business Radio, because you've given us amazing insight as to what your company does and what's going on in the industry. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Chef. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, you're awesome. All right, everybody, another episode wrapped up. Remember, next week we'll have a different episode. I can't tell you who it's going to be yet, but it's either going to be an expert like Brad, somebody that's in the trenches doing it every day in real life. It could be an author. It could be a thought leader. But, you know, whatever it's going to be amazing, because that's why we call it Amazing Business Radio. This is Shep Hyken, and until next week, reminding you to always be amazing.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.